Good morning, and welcome to those of you in the radio audience. We appreciate so much your tuning in, and we hope that you will listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that is said on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you would like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer. We've been studying from the book of Acts, and today our study moves to chapter 5. Chapter 5 gives us a clear picture of God's intent for the early church. Sin and hypocrisy was not to be tolerated, and that's what we learn in the first 11 verses of chapter 5. Then the gospel was something that was to be preached, as verses 19 through 21 and verses 41 and 42. And we see God's people are to press on with courage. First of all, we read about the lie that Ananias and Sapphira told, and we see the punishment in verses 1 through 11. The situation with Ananias and Sapphira is the first case of trouble in the church, the first record of sin among God's people, and the first case of hypocrisy. We see in verses 1 and 2 that this chapter begins with the word but, which shows a contrast between the previous examples of Barnabas and the present example of Ananias and Sapphira. The two illustrations here were intended to be brought into contrast as this conjunction but introduces the sentence. Ananias and Sapphira sold some land, as Barnabas and others had done. Ananias kept back part of the money, but said he was given the full amount when he brought it to the apostles. Sapphira was fully aware of what he had done. And in verses 3 through 10, when Ananias brought the money, Sapphira was not with him, as verse 7 points out. Peter rebukes Ananias for allowing Satan to fill his heart, as verse 3 indicates. However, he had conceived this plan on his own, as verse 4 shows. He allowed Satan to influence him by yielding to the temptation to lie about the money. And in his hypocrisy, Ananias was focused on how he appeared before men. Peter points out that his lying was not just to men, but to God, in verses 3 and 4. There was no reason for this sin. He voluntarily participated in it, verse 4. There was no compulsion to sell. There was no pressure to give what he gained from selling. There was no demand to give all, or even a certain amount. The whole matter was willingly planned. Verse 4, and consequently, he was miraculously struck dead, as we read in verses 5 and 6. It was 3 hours later that Sapphira comes in, and she's unaware of what's happened to her husband, as verse 7 indicates. Peter gave her the opportunity to come clean and to correct her part of the sin. He asked her about the amount that they claimed to give. She said the amount that they received from the land was the amount that they gave, in verses 7 and 8. She was an accomplice to Ananias' sin. Though the idea was conceived by Ananias, as we see in verse 4, she was well aware of it, as verse 2 indicates. She was not present when he lied about the amount. However, she was just as guilty, for she was struck dead, just like her husband, as verse 10 shows. This is a case of church discipline, though not a case of withdrawing. Sin was dealt with. Some of the same results were obtained. And we find in verse 5 and verse 11 that the rest of the church feared. They learned that sin would not be tolerated. They had to be stirred to sincerity. It also caused some outside of the church to fear, as verse 11 indicates. But then we find that the apostles performed miracles beginning in verse 12 of chapter 5. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. The believers and believers were added the more to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick under the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The apostles worked miracles among the people. The miracles were called signs because they served to confirm the message that the apostles preached. This was what Jesus said before he ascended to the apostles in Mark 16, verses 17 through 20. They were called wonders because of the effect of amazement. They were all gathered, we find, in Solomon's porch, as verse 12 indicates. The healing that was done by the apostles became so popular that the sick were brought into the streets so that at least the shadow of Peter might come over some of them. In contrast to the efforts today to perform miracles, all of those that were brought to be healed were healed, as verse 16 indicated. Those not gathered with the disciples didn't dare to join them, even though they esteemed them highly. They didn't join them for one of two reasons, or maybe both. One, they didn't feel that they fit in with those that were associated with such power as displayed in the miracles. Or two, they had just witnessed the hypocrisies being exposed. Not all stood, at a distance. There were multitudes that were obedient, and they turned to the Lord. So here we have another progress report. But then we see, beginning with verse 17, on through the 40th verse of chapter 5, that the apostles are imprisoned, they are questioned, and now we see that they are beaten. The popularity of the apostles was more than really the leaders among the Jews could take. The high priest, who was a Sadducee, along with other Sadducees who we said denied the resurrection, took the apostles and put them into prison, as verse 17 and 18 shows. However, an angel released them and commanded the apostles to go preach all the words of this life in the temple, in verses 19 through 21. It's in the latter part of verse 21 that we see that once again the apostles are brought before the council for questioning. And we find that the council gathers and sins for the apostles in the latter part of verse 21 through verse 26. The council officially gathered, and they sent to the prison to have the apostles brought to them. However, when the officials came back to the council, they reported that they found the prison secured tight with guards outside, but the apostles were not inside. The main concern the officials had was what the outcome would be. Notice verse 24 of Acts chapter 5. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. So we see then what kind of an effect would the report of their escape have. They were fearful that this may cause a greater following. And to make matters worse for the council, one reported to them that the apostles were preaching in the temple. Verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom you put into prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." So this time, when the officials took them, they didn't use force because they were afraid of being stoned by those who held the apostles in such high esteem. But in verses 27 and 28, back before the council, we find the apostles are being asked, or rather being told, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name?" He charged them with violating the prohibition to the point of filling Jerusalem with their doctrine, which included indicting them with the death of Christ. And it's in verse 29 that we have Peter's defense. Let's read that beginning in verse 29 through verse 32. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey them." So Peter and the other apostles, they respond by making two points. First, they would obey God, who had commanded them to preach, rather than men who were forbidden them to preach. And second, God raised up the same Jesus who they had murdered. The apostles do not back off, but they press hard to charge that these Jews had killed Jesus. And there are three things that are stated here about the resurrection. One is, Christ is now exalted to the right hand of God, verse 31. Two, he is Prince and Savior who forgives those who repent, verse 31. And three, there is evidence of this resurrection. The apostles were eyewitnesses, and the Holy Spirit gave testimony by way of the miracles. And then we have the advice that was given by Gamaliel, beginning with verse 33. The council's reaction was anger, to the point of planning to kill the apostles. Look at verse 33. That when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. But Gamaliel, who was a Pharisee and a council member, he was also a teacher of the law and apparently well respected, had the apostles removed so that the council could talk privately. This we see in verse 34. Gamaliel's advice was to leave them alone. If what the apostles were doing was of men, he said it would come to nothing. That's in verses 34 through 38. And he gives two cases. Thaddeus and Judas were men led in movement that amounted to nothing. But he said, if, however, what these men are doing is of God, it cannot be overthrown. Listen to verse 39. But if it be of God, we cannot overthrow it, lest happily we be found even to fight against God. So really, Gamaliel was not acting in defense of the apostles or showing any support for the doctrine of Christ. His only concern was how that the council would handle the matter for its own benefit. So we find in verse 40, to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And we find that the rest of the council agreed with Gamaliel, the apostles were beaten, and we find that they were commanded no more to teach in the name of Jesus. In verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, that is the apostles, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So we see that they viewed it as an honor to suffer for Christ. And they did not let this type of persecution cause them to stop preaching the gospel. They continued to daily preach Christ. Friends, we see that the time is gone, and we appreciate your listening, and we hope that you'll tune in again tomorrow at the same time. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.